Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 9 for our text tonight. The title of the message is The Priorities of a Godly Life. Priorities of a Godly Life. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask for your blessings on this message. Encourage our hearts, Lord, with these principles and this truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, how many of you have ever read a self-help book? It's not a sin if you do, so you can raise your hand if you actually have. I know some of you are like, oh, the self-help books are bad. Okay, just a few of you have read a self-help book before. A lot of times what you will find in those self-help books is the idea or the philosophy, you know, that if you really want something bad enough and you really, really put your mind to it, you can accomplish it. And that's the world's philosophy, really, in a lot of ways. And in a lot of ways, it actually is true. I will grant that. God has made the human mind and the human will in such a way that if a man or a woman really puts their mind to something, they usually can discover a way to make it happen. It's true. In fact, if you look at Genesis chapter 11, quickly turn over there, Genesis chapter 11, God created the human intellect and the mind and the will with incredible potential to get things done and to accomplish things. And in fact, in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, and the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. And of course, this is in the context of the Tower of Babel and so on, but it gives an idea, some insight into the potential that a human mind and the human will possesses, because that's the way that God created us. God is a creative God, and He made mortals creative. As well, He made us equipped with intelligence and drive to solve problems. Men are often problem solvers. In fact, sometimes it gets them into problems when they try to solve problems, and they just create more problems. Like, for example, at times, you know, when you come home from work and your wife, she just wants to let all of her day out to you. And she's telling you this problem after this problem and this thing after this thing. And the natural thing inside, the problem solver inside of the man, wants to come out and start solving the problems. The problem is, she doesn't want you to solve the problem. She just wants to tell you about it and talk to you about it. And so you create more problems for yourself. It's about having some discernment and learning who your wife is. And sometimes you just got to let her talk and let her vent. But God has created us with a drive and intelligence to solve problems. The key is having the right priority. A man or a person can really put their mind to something, to accomplish something. But the key is having the right priorities to accomplish the right things. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the priorities of a godly life. And what a man sets his mind on, what he makes his most important priority, he will likely be able to discover a way to accomplish it. And so what a powerful force priority becomes. And I want us to look at a few things in this portion of Scripture about priorities and about the priorities of a godly life, because it is so important. Verses 3 through 5, if you'll turn back to Proverbs chapter 2, in verses 3 through 5, we see the first principle. And the first principle is that spiritual goals should have the highest priority in life. Let me say it again. Spiritual goals should have the highest priority in life. He says here, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." What is the key here? What should be sought after? Knowledge and understanding. And finding the knowledge of God is the goal. And he says you got to search for it. You got to seek after it. You got to pursue it. Cry after it. Most people are pursuing something. Are you with me? Most people are pursuing something. Now, there are some who are not. And more in our day and age, you've got young men who should be manly, who should be having goals, who should be pursuing something, but they're still sitting on mom and dad's couch playing video games or a couch potato and with no ambition in life. It's a sad thing. Parents, don't let your sons grow up to be that. Keep them busy. Make them work. Work is a good thing. It teaches character. It teaches discipline. Don't let your daughters become that. More and more all the time, we see that in our society. Most people are pursuing something, though. Is it money? Having a nice nest egg for retirement? Is that the highest priority? Being financially free and financially set? Is that the highest priority of life? Career? Maybe some are searching for a spouse. And all of this, whether it's money, whether it's financial freedom, whether it's possessions, whether it's career, whether it's a spouse, all of these things with the idea in mind that it will bring them happiness and fulfillment. You follow me? What's the end goal? What's the reason that thing just dominates the mind or the thinking or the actions? What's the motive behind it? Because they think they're going to find fulfillment and happiness in it. Note verse 5. He says, if you seek after, in verse 3, if you cry after knowledge, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek after it as searching for a hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I want you to ask yourself these important questions. All right? You ready to ask yourself the question? You tuned in? What kind of success is most important to me? Think about it. Apply this in your own life. Ask yourself this question. What kind of success is most important to me? Is it financial success? What's the drive? Is it personal success or is it spiritual? Question number 2. And you can keep thinking on these. Maybe even writing them down and meditating on them later would be a good idea. Number 2. If I could realize only one great ambition in life, if I could make it happen, what would it be? Think about it. Ask yourself, if you could realize one great ambition in life, what would it be? Number 3, at the end of my life, if it were to even end today, what will have revealed itself to be the most valuable to me? At the end of my life, even if it were to end today, what is it about me? What is it that other people could see? What is it that would have revealed itself to be the most valuable thing in my life? And my friend, if the answers that you come up with are temporal in nature, then the priorities are in the wrong place. Why? Because this world is not my home. I'm passing through. God has placed me here and you here for a spiritual reason, a spiritual purpose, an eternal purpose. What did Paul tell Timothy? That preacher who is about ready to be cast out on his own because the Apostle Paul wasn't going to be around much longer. What did he tell him? He said, "No soldier, good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Why? That he may please him who has called him to be a good soldier. What things are the most important things? What things reveal themselves to be the most valuable? And you know what? The thing that dominates your mind, the thing that dominates your attention, the thing that you give the most time to in your life is the very thing that is the highest priority to you. Now, certainly we need to work to keep body and soul together. But you know, there's a way to work a job to keep body and soul together and have it still not be the highest priority of your life. Are you with me? What is it that's the highest priority? Spiritual goals, folks, should have the highest priority. God, what do you want with my life? Lord, I want to please you with my life. I'm open. I'm available. My goal is to please you. Just show me what you want me to do. And then when he does, you're faithful at it, and then you open yourself up for whatever else God wants you to do. Amen? Spiritual goals. Not gaining a nest egg so you can live comfortably in retirement. Now, certainly we should be good stewards of the things that God gives us. But it shouldn't be the thing that dominates us. Wisdom and understanding should be sought as though they were silver and hid treasures. Lord, give me your wisdom. Give me of yourself. And what are these verses? Look at verse 6. Verse 6 said, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." We ought to be seeking the Lord Himself. And we ought to be seeking that relationship with Him and His will. For in that, He gives us His wisdom and His understanding. Spiritual goals. Look at verse 4. "If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure." It's one of those hidden things that takes work and it takes effort to find it. But you know what? It doesn't really take that much work to find it if we yield ourselves to God and to His will. I'll get to this in just a second. The second principle I want to point out to you is that godly living is a state of being rather than a state of doing. Write it down if you're taking notes and think about this. Godly living is a state of being rather than a state of doing. Verse 2 and verse 3 and verse 5 and verse 7 is what I want you to focus on. All right, so he says, "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding," skip down to verse 5, "then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Verse 7, "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." It's almost like these verses are saying, if you invest yourself in this way, if you are seeking after wisdom and you're pursuing after these things that the Lord says are valuable things, if you invest yourself in this way, you will become this kind of a person. Understand this? What you invest yourself into is going to mold and shape who you become and how you think. And he says, it says if you're crying after it, you're applying your heart to understanding, and you're seeking after it, you're going to find the wisdom of God because he lays up sound wisdom for the righteous, and he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Even one who tries to do good will not truly receive the knowledge of God without being yielded to Him and His divine principles with their will. Now let me say it again. Even somebody who is trying to do good things, maybe it's in areas of service, maybe you're trying to serve the Lord in some way, even somebody who is doing, if they're not yielded in their will and their heart, they're not going to receive the wisdom of God. Because godly living is a state of being. It's who you are. not what you do necessarily. When the heart is right and the attitude is right and things are right with the Lord, the doing is a natural result of that. Things fall in line. It's not about what you do in service. It's really about what's in the heart. And so here's the application. Listen, write this down. It's not actions alone, but it's attitudes that will produce the right actions. Are you with me here? It's not the actions. It's the attitudes. The attitudes of the heart. If those are in the right place, then it's going to produce the right actions. When the heart is right, other things just naturally follow. It's the heart that determines who one really is. Not what's seen on the outside. You know, you can do all the right things. And you can even do as the pastor says. But if the attitude of the heart is not right, then there's no true yieldedness to God. Plain and simple. And ultimately, who do we stand before? And ultimately, who are we to please? God. And so somebody might just put on a face, you know, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do this. The pastor said to do it, and so I guess we got to do it. But all the while, inwardly, there's this chafing and chiding. You're missing out. The attitude of the heart isn't right. And that really determines who we really are. And then that shows that there's not any real yieldedness to God. Look at Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. As a man thinks in his heart, that's who he is. Or she is. And you know what? That's what Jesus said of the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15. He said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You honoreth me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And so the point that we're trying to make and that the scriptures are revealing to us here in Proverbs is that godly living is a state of being. It's what's in the heart, not a state of doing. And if the heart is right, then naturally those things will follow. And the third and final principle, if you turn back to Proverbs 2, I want you to look at verses 10 through 12. We're going to skip down to verse 16, and then we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. The Bible says here in Proverbs 2, verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. What does he say? When you've got wisdom, because you understand the fear of the Lord, and God gives that wisdom, and he gives you that knowledge, guess what? You're going to have some discretion. And discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. Skip down to verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. You're going to have some discernment about you when the wisdom of God enters in, and some discretion about who should be your companions and the places that you ought to go and the decisions that you need to make. Look at verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. This third principle with these verses, I find that divine principles, listen, divine principles work in the lives of those who yield. He says, here again, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. And he says, understanding is going to keep you, to deliver you from the evil man, to deliver you from the strange woman. And what is it going to do? It's going to allow you to walk in a good place. Divine principles will work when people are yielded. To those who are yielded, God's principles always work. So what am I saying? Realizing of a divine life and a divinely guided life, having an understanding and realizing its value is so much better than the vanity of life that's lived on a temporal plane. Are you with me? You understand this principle? Realizing the spiritual life and the value that's there rather than the vanity of life lived on a temporal plane. You know what that will do? It will bring surrender. Having, grasping the value in a spiritual life, it brings surrender. It brings selflessness. It brings service. It brings a life that God can direct, a life that God can use, and ultimately a life that God can bless. And who doesn't want the blessings of God? We finally see that the best things in life come from the Almighty, not in what we can do for ourselves. You know what? So many times, the reason that people feel stuck, the reason they feel frustrated, the reason they feel unfulfilled in their life is because they cannot see how their selfish life has just overwhelmed them. They can't see how selfish their life has become. Only self-serving. You know, even sneering at the suggestion of doing something for others just to be a blessing. What? Why not? Just to be a blessing to somebody else. You know what, Lord? Who can I serve this week? Lord, I want to serve you, and I know that serving you is serving other people. Lay somebody on my heart this week that I can be a blessing to. That's a selfless servant's heart. You understand what I'm saying? And divine principles work for those who are yielded. And when we search after knowledge and seek after relationship with God, and spiritual goals are the highest priority, and there's yieldedness in the heart and life, man, what a difference that makes. Puts you in a position where it brings surrender to the will of God. Puts you in a position where you have understanding, and it puts you in a position where you can be blessed of God. Spiritual blessing that brings reconciliation with God. It brings peace. It brings true joy. It brings a sense of fulfillment in life. It brings divine guidance in making decisions. It brings security in Christ. All of those things are only received of God. He's the one that gives those things. And what does He require? Simply a yielded heart to His will and to His word and to His commands. I want you to look at Psalm 103 with me, the last portion of Scripture here. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. I'm in Psalm 105. I'm sorry. Thought that sounded weird. There you are. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm talking about all of these things, the peace, the joy, the fulfillment, all of only these things only come from the Lord. And He satisfies the mouth with good things. And you know what? It comes from yielding. Here's the principle of yielding. Learning to surrender and yield your will to God. This becomes foundational for your entire Christian life. learning to yield yourself to God. We need to understand that the things that we need most, folks, in this life, life's most valuable commodities, they're not physical, they're spiritual. And they can only come from yielding our will to God. You understand these principles? Spiritual priorities need to be number one. Divine principles work for those that yield. And godliness is a state of being, not doing. It's what's from the heart that makes the difference. That's where true joy, true peace is found. Not in just the things that we do, but in what we yield to the Lord. So let me give you a challenge here tonight. Why do you do what you do? Why do you serve in the capacity that you serve in? What's the motive behind it? Why are the things in your life the way that they are? The things that dominate your life and the things that dominate your thinking, why are they the way they are? You understand what I'm getting at? Maybe we need to sometimes reevaluate what our motives are and understand that the priorities of a godly life are the most important principles. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this truth, a reminder, Father, that it's the heart that you see and that you're concerned with. But Father, is also the promise that if we would yield ourselves to you, your divine principles will work and things will take shape. And Father, we'll be in a position where we can have the knowledge and the wisdom of God and be in a position to be filled and to be joyful and to be full and to receive the blessings of God. Father, help us to have spiritual goals as our highest priorities in life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. These are good principles from the Word of God. And I hope you apply the truth and respond to the Lord as He works in your heart. Amen. Good to be with you tonight. Good to see each and every one of you. Greet our guests. Make sure that you greet them and let them know that you're glad they're here. And we'll look forward to seeing you again on Sunday. All right? Lord bless you. You are dismissed. Thank you. Yes, sir. Don't forget, Saturday men's prayer meeting at 6 o'clock. And ladies, if you are so inclined to come, you may do so. The more the merrier. Thank you for reminding me of that. You are dismissed.